I invite you to turn with me to the Bible so we can read from Mark chapter 5. You can read from your Bible at home, or the words will be on the screen if you want to read along from on the screen. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. They, that is Jesus and his disciples, went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On this Thanksgiving Day, are you thinking that this was a pretty strange passage for me to read and to have selected to be the part of the Bible that we would think about and talk about? Maybe you thought, why didn't he pick a nice psalm? There's some beautiful Thanksgiving psalms. Psalm 16, for example, said, "You made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy." Or maybe you might have thought, why didn't he go to the New Testament, to one of the letters of the Apostle Paul, where it says, "Let the message of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful." Beautiful passage for Thanksgiving Day. But really, the story of a demon-possessed man? Kind of strange. But I hope that after we have had some time to think about it together, that you'll say, hey, actually, a really appropriate story to read and to think about today. This week, I asked a few people, because I was thinking about this passage and thinking about this message that I'm bringing, that what are the things that you are thankful for? And a couple of people said, oh, I'm really thankful for my family, for my spouse and my children, because I love them so much. Another one told me, I'm really grateful for my job, and I find it fulfilling and meaningful, and it pays decently, so I'm really grateful for that. Another one said, I'm really grateful for our cottage, that when I got some free time, I can go out to the lake and enjoy and go fishing. It's just fantastic. No one said to me, Pastor Bruce, I'm grateful for gravity, that I'm firmly anchored to the ground and that I don't float away and get lost. No one said to me, I am grateful, as the weather's getting cooler, that I shiver, that my body works to generate heat as I'm starting to get chilled and I'm able to maintain a core temperature that is healthy. No one mentioned that. The reason is, I'm sure, is that these are things that we can simply take for granted. The good Lord created the world, and He created us in such a way that we function and things just carry on. We don't have to pay a lot of attention to it. When it gets cold, we shiver. When it gets hot, we sweat. And gravity is a pretty much constant. And it's good for us to be grateful for that. The things that we are consciously grateful for, that we list and name, are the things that we know that we could lose. Or maybe they are the things that we know that not everybody has. And so it comes to mind, I am grateful that I have this because it is not necessarily so that I do. It is a special gift and I am thankful. Okay, with that all being said, let's go back to that story that we read in the Bible. There was a man in the region of the Gerasenes who suffered terrible misfortune. He had become possessed by an evil spirit, and when that evil spirit set up shop in his life, it invited all of his buddies to come and say, hey, I found a great place, and why don't we all move in together? And this man was possessed by a legion. He was tormented by them, tormented to the point where he was either driven out or drove himself out of the community and went to live in the cemetery, would injure himself and be isolated. He was homeless in that cemetery. And he would huddle in the shadow of the monuments, and when the sun would beat down in the middle of the day, he might have tried to find some shade, but there's not a lot of shade in the cemetery. And if the rain would come, that there was no place for him to find shelter. He was in the place of the dead, cut off from all who were living. And therefore, there was no one for him to talk to. There was no one for him to be consoled by. There was no one to say, I love you and I'm here for you. No one to take him fishing. No one to talk about anything. It was terrible to be that alone. Because the evil spirits had come into him, he was not only in physical trouble, being homeless and injuring himself, he was in spiritual bondage, the scripture says. That the evil ones that were taking over his spirit and filling his life were preventing him from reaching out to the Lord his God and participating in the rhythms and the rituals of worship. Because he was made by God not to be in spiritual bondage, because the way he was not the way that it was meant to be by his Creator, those impure spirits caused anguish in him that drove him mad. Now, we read this and we say, you know, there's surely some level of mental illness here. Well, I think anybody that is as afflicted as this person is going to experience mental illness. But the scripture says that for him, the issue was the spirits. So he was a man, no home, no family, no friends, no faith, and no peace. How terrible that must have been. How hopeless, how helpless was a man. How can one simple man overcome a legion of demons that are taking over your life? We know there are people in our community, not far away from any of us, who are experiencing one or more of the troubles that this man was going through. There are people that are homeless. There are people who have been cut off from family for whatever reason. There are people who feel themselves, maybe even know themselves, to have been abandoned by their community. And there are those who do not know and cannot find, lack the capacity to reach out to the God who created them, who gave them life, who gives purpose and hope. There are those who agonize with tortured minds from schizophrenia or bipolar disorders or any of the many myriad psychological and mental disorders. And compounding this man's terror was that hopelessness. No way out. No cure is possible. What could ever be done to help a man beset by a legion of demons? Well, the community had written him off. If he could have enough self-awareness, he would have written himself off. But then along comes Jesus. And Jesus came and set him free. Set him free by having authority even over the evil spirits, to command them to leave that poor, afflicted man and go off into a bunch of pigs so that they would leave him alone. And it was a big surprise that Jesus would do this. It was a big surprise that Jesus could do this, that he would have such a level of authority that even the evil spirits have to listen to him because he is the Lord of creation. Well, the people in that community were certainly surprised. They were surprised at that level of authority that Jesus had. They were amazed at his power, and they were overcome by his compassion for this man. But it was unnerving for them. They didn't know what to make of this person that comes with such power, and they weren't sure what to make of all those drowned pigs. And the story, if you look at that carefully, it goes back to, it says, yeah, and the pigs, do you notice the pigs, 2,000 pigs, are worth a lot of money. That was a big investment. It was a loss to the community for all those pigs to have drowned themselves. But they gained a man. They gained a citizen. They gained someone freed from the tombs to become part of their lives again. For the man who had been set free from that legion of demons, that surprise gave way to thanksgiving, to delight. Because what could he look forward to? Before, no home, no health, no family, no friends, no home, no anything. It was all gone. And the gift of Christ to him, by freeing him from those spirits, was that he could return to home. He could find his family. He could make his friends. He could enjoy the health that was the gift of God to him. He could experience peace, the peace that's deep and inside. Now, that man, having met Jesus, having experienced release from Jesus so that he could go into a time of health, he wanted to actually forgo some of those blessings. He said, I want to not go home. I want to become a disciple. I want to be with you on a walk with you. I want to listen to you. I want to be you and be a source of blessing through that. But Jesus said, no, I don't want you to give up your home. I don't want you to forsake your people. I want you to go home and let people know how good the Lord has been to you. I want you to tell the story of the mercy of the Lord in your own life. Well, here we are on this Thanksgiving Day, and we are people who have seen homelessness and isolation. We know people who are spiritually lost, people that don't know peace. Maybe for us, maybe you, our prince, say, yes, I know what that is. Not in the totality of the despair of this man, but there are pieces of that story that actually resonate with me. Maybe you say, I know what it was like to not have family. Or I know what it was like to not have friends. Or I even know what it was like to be homeless or lost spiritually. But for all the blessing of home and family and faith and health and peace, all these things that we enjoy, that they are the gift of God to us. And it is right, it is appropriate, it is fitting for us as people who are blessed to say, thank you, Lord, to make our Thanksgiving Day thankfulness that is directed up. And as we talked with Sally, that thankfulness that the Lord asks of us is that we show that mercy to others. That there is a response. The man was told, now that you've been set free, now go to your people and do what's right by them. Tell them and love them and be with them. Well, let our thankfulness be demonstrated by our deeds of mercy and kindness and truth. Those people in the Decapolis, they were amazed. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the people of Burlington or Waterdown or Flamborough or Dundas or wherever it is that you are could be amazed at what they see the Lord doing in your life, that they see gratitude just bursting out of you and giving glory to God. If this is going to be a good Thanksgiving day, let it be a good Thanksgiving life that you're living, because that will please the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.